Profound Stages is exactly what it sounds like. The Roving Theater Company takes theater off the stage and into non-traditional spaces. This time, they're taking a play about women in tech into tech workplaces. I spoke with the show's playwright, Annie Harrison Elliott, actor Mary Russell, and Foundstage's co-founder Nicole Palmiero, who started our conversation with why it's important to have theater outside of the theater.
We're all professional theater artists, and we care very much about our craft and our art form. And we know that when we go see theater, we see the same audience members every time. And we want theater to be an event, because plays aren't just competing amongst themselves anymore. They're competing with Netflix. It's just easier to stay home and to watch something from your couch. And we want to create something that feels like an event, that builds a community around our plays and takes away some of the challenges to getting to a theater by coming to where people already are and meeting them where they're at. With our play Empty Rooms, we're coming to people's actual workplaces.
Yeah. Annie, you are the playwright.
Yes.
And I wondered, why did you want to write about the tech industry in particular?
Well, it started when I read Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg in around 2013. And I hadn't really thought about women in tech a whole lot, to be honest with you. I'm in the arts, and it didn't really cross my path. But then when I started researching, I was amazed, actually, that the amount of women in tech has been decreasing over time.
Yeah, there were more in the 80s.
Yes, correct. And so I became fascinated with why that was. And once I started researching these women and their stories, I found it to be an increasingly important story to tell at this time.
Why has the number decreased?
Well, it's very complicated. Studies have shown, actually, that women really love their work and they love being programmers, but their workplaces are hostile environments. Women often face isolation, being the only woman in the room, lack of mentorship, lack of access to roles that innovate, the lead roles. So a lot of those play a factor. And there's even records of things like assault at these developers' conference.
So, you know, this touches upon something that's systemic, and you'd think, given as far as we've come, I'd like to think we've come some way with feminism, that this wouldn't be a problem, but it remains.
It does, and I think in a way it's deliberate, because if you think about how our future structure of our world is being built, it's now being built through programs, right? And behind computer screens. And who is building our future world? The answer is predominantly white men. So very few women, very few people of color.
You also found a connection between tech and theater in terms of representation. What was that?
Yes, well, there are actually very few female playwrights that get their plays produced, even fewer writers of color, and there are very few female directors currently being represented in theater. So the plight that these women face, it was familiar to us.
But no one is plotting against women playwrights, actors, directors.
I don't think they're plotting against us, but it is interesting. I think whoever gets to tell the stories of our time, those are the people that shape our history. And those are the people that are kind of shaping what we're experiencing now as a culture. So I think it matters who gets to tell the stories.
The play focuses on Jennifer, who has created an app that she's presenting at a conference the next day. We have a clip from your rehearsal where Jennifer's talking to a picture of Ada Lovelace. Let's listen.
You know what I've put into this, Ada. You've seen what I've given up spending all those nights alone. Coding, no dating, no social life, no love, no weird-looking children with my squash-shaped nose. Thank God I discovered you when I was 12. Who'd I've had to talk to all these years? You were barely more than a footnote in the book I was reading. Could have missed it entirely. I'm 40 now, and you're the one who's seen me through it all. It's a shame you were born in 1815. We would have made a great team in real life. As it stands now, you're the only other qualified woman in this office. You're the only other woman. Except, the intern, of course. She doesn't count. I'm sorry no one cared about your revolutionary paper when you were alive. People do care now. You know, I want you to know that they care about your genius. I called you the first computer programmer. I always cared about you. I want people to care. Is that ridiculous? I want them to care about my program. I've worked so hard.
What does this opening scene introduce to the audience about the tech industry?
So Jennifer is brilliant, and the program that she has created can really revolutionize society and the way that small businesses function. It's a data mining software that she created. And at the top of the play, we see her really enjoying her work and digging in and being herself. But there's also a loneliness there, and she's had to make up a friend. Ada Lovelace was the first computer programmer, and I think that Jennifer feels a kinship to Ada because they were both paving their own way. And Jennifer has had to struggle and prove herself, and she finally feels like she has something that is hers and to give to the world. But the only person who can really understand that struggle has been dead for a very long time. And we'll see in further scenes after this, this is the opening of all of the obstacles that come in just from within her own tech company and from her boss being very well-meaning and trying to help her by bringing in more people and bringing in Sarah, who is coming in from a hiatus after raising her children for several years. But the way he's doing it, he's not really asking her what she needs. He's just assuming, and he's pushing everything onto her, and it's taking her status away from her. It's taking her authority and ownership of her product, and the actual ownership, her name, her authorship gets questioned throughout the play.
The play also focuses on two other women, Sarah, who just joined the company you mentioned after taking a break to raise children, and their intern, Natalie. The dynamic among the women is very complicated, and at first it seems pretty hostile, too. Let's listen to this clip from your rehearsal where Sarah has brought cupcakes to the office after having to check on her kids. Jennifer's practicing her presentation for the conference, and Natalie, unfortunately, is caught in the middle.
Here, have a cupcake. You'll need fuel to get through the conference.
I don't want a cupcake.
I insist.
No, thank you.
I'm sorry they're not homemade. I usually bake from scratch, but no time for that anymore.
I don't require mothering.
Please, take one.
I don't want a cupcake. I don't need you to fix my code. I don't need help.
See, Natalie likes my cupcakes.
How do you know?
You like cupcakes, don't you?
Do you?
Everybody likes cupcakes. You like my cupcakes, right, Natalie?
Answer the question, do you like cupcakes?
Well, I was craving chocolate. So, I was instructed to test Aardvark today. Do you have that information?
Fine.
Thank you. My code is perfect. If anyone is looking for me, I'll be in the bathroom working. You know, there was a time when the women's restroom was always empty.
What are the dynamics at play in this scene?
Well, it's interesting because I play Sarah and I come in to check on Jennifer's work. But I have been away from the workforce raising kids, but we used to be childhood friends. So there's also that dynamic of coming in, realizing that we knew each other a long time ago, we were really good friends, and kind of building that relationship anew, because there is that competition. She's nervous about me coming in and replacing her or testing her product. And it's just this kind of power struggle of, you know, how much we support each other as women. We want each other to do well. We want to kind of instruct each other on, you know, how to survive in this world. But there's also that competition of, you know, wanting to be the best and, you know, wanting to be the smartest and, you know, having to compete against these guys and having them tell us what to do.
And maybe she's also envious that Sarah's a mother.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I chose a certain path and she chose the opposite path. So that's what the play kind of deals with as well, is like the different paths that women have to kind of choose to conform to or kind of set in these boxes.
Are forced to.
Right, exactly. And I hope by the end of the play, there's the realization of like, you know, hopefully we don't have to choose and we can work together and create something even better.
And there are actually three generations of women in the play. There's a consultant that we meet about halfway through, and she comes in and she brings a sort of gravity to the play, teaching these women what she had to do to learn how to win the game. So through that, through the three different generations, we see how what these women learn gets passed on, that it's not creating a new system, it's learning how to win at the current system.
I think this is very clever. For this production, you are going into tech spaces around town, and each space is different. What do you bring with you, and how do you adapt the play to each location?
So it's a very unique challenge that we've set up for ourselves. Like I said before, we want our audience to be the people that can most connect to the story. So we knew that we needed to present the play in tech spaces. What we bring with us is basically just props and costumes. We use the existing lighting, sound system, projection equipment, furniture, and they're letting us rearrange things how we want and come in and really, we say that we're coming in and taking over the common rooms of tech offices across the city.
How have some of the people at the tech companies responded to the idea of your content?
Well, they think it's great. This is a topic right now that everybody is talking about, and their gender diversity is something that the tech industry is working to correct. And so I think we've gotten a very good response, in part because it's the right time to talk about it.
No one's been defensive or shooed you away?
No, actually. Everybody has been very excited about the concept of the play. The only no's we've gotten is that they don't have the space or the time. But all of the spaces that we've approached have been very encouraging, and we've met so many wonderful people just reaching out and trying to present this play all over the city, people who have, you know, given up their own time to connect us to other places. I was just at Strongbox West today, and they signed up to do another performance.
Found Stages is very impressive, and I wish you all the best. Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.